Well, good afternoon and good evening. Hello, everybody. It is July 28th, 2023, and the time is 17:38 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green, and before we begin, I just want to say, if I do have an extra radicular infection, it should be manageable or treatable, fully curable with vitamin C, mega vitamin C, I should add, because the power of vitamin C is, I mean, unless we're talking about a bone infection, that's quite different, I believe, but quite a different thing. But merely a soft tissue infection where there's blood supply, and maybe even a bone infection, I don't even know. I haven't researched that, but vitamin C, mega vitamin C can handle enormous amounts of infection, and possibly even intra-radicular tooth infections, possibly, but we don't seem to have one of those at the moment, so the fact that vitamin C failed, and the antibiotic failed as well, to treat the issue, suggests that it's, if it were inside the tooth, the antibiotic is known to fail. I'm not sure if vitamin C would fail. But we have, for today, we have Carl Jung. What did you do as a child that made the hours pass like minutes? Herein lies the key to your earthly pursuits. Beautiful idea about remaining young, and young at heart, that is. And Confucius said three things. Time is involved here. The Chinese philosopher Confucius said three things. Why? I keep wanting to say three times. The Chinese philosopher Confucius said three things never come back. Time, word, and opportunity. They never come back. Therefore, do not waste time. Choose words. And do not miss the opportunity. Mark Twain said, noise proves nothing. Often a hen who has laid an egg cackles as if she had laid an asteroid. And we have for a song today. It's a song by Nat King Cole. And it was recorded, or released, that is, as a single by Nat King Cole in 1952 and reached number 16 on the Billboard charts in the U.S., but we don't have any other chart information for it. It's called Because You're Mine.
Brightest star I see looks down, my love, and envies me, because you're mine, because you're mine, because you're mine. The breeze that hurries by becomes a melody, and why? Because you're mine. Because you're mine, I only know for as long as I may live, I'll only live for the kiss that you alone may give me. And when we kiss, that isn't thunder, dear, it's only my poor heart you hear, and it's a plus, because you're mine. the kiss that you alone may give me. And when we kiss, that isn't thunder, dear, it's only my poor heart you hear, and it's applause. Because
well, I wanted to say something more about that song, but it wasn't written by Nat King Cole, of course. It was written by Nicholas Brodsky, and the lyrics were written by Sammy Kahn, taken from the 1952 musical film of the same name, Because You're Mine. Was also recorded by Mario Lanza, and his version was even more successful, reaching number 7 on the Billboard charts in the same year, 1952, as the version by Nat King Cole. So for today we have paragraph 3 and 3 in our article Born and Raised. I overshot again. Here it is. So, what logic is there to find 26 CE for the baptism of Jesus? We're in Born and Raised, chapter 3, paragraph 3. Although the year 14 CE may be well known as the start of the sole rule of Tiberius, quite well known, this doesn't mean that it is year 1 of Tiberius in the writings of Luke. More especially, considering that Luke is well regarded for accuracy, and he himself claims as much, one might remember our previous discussion from paragraph 1:8, chapter 1, paragraph 8, in the present article, where we find on this very point, quote, "We find instead that the earliest reported assumption of royal powers for these foreign kings becomes year 1, despite differences possible due to accession years or co-rule. This method of determining year 1 for foreign kings, as viewed by Jewish Bible writers, may be seen as reducing uncertainty in kings' ruling dates to 1 year at most, where the multitude of different calendars is avoided. From this view, Tiberius had begun to co-rule about 12 CE, before the death of Augustus, in brackets according to Suetonius. And that's all for today in the Born and Raised article. So, our proverb for today. Oh, I don't have a proverb. Wait a minute. I think we have to go to... wait a minute. That's not the proverb. Let's see. Right. Is this the proverb? Let me think. No, that doesn't do it either. I'm thinking... It's very strange. Wait a minute. I think... This is the one. Okay, we're going to do 8 and 12 of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 8 and 12. Although a sinner may be doing bad 100 times, and continuing a long time as he pleases. Yet I am also aware that it will turn out well with those fearing the true God, because they were in fear of him. So that's encouraging. It doesn't even say... It doesn't even say that the one fearing the true God will continue longer than the sinner. It's very modest. It says it will also turn out well. Or I am also aware that it will turn out well. It will turn out well with those fearing the true God. Even though the sinner may not appear to be receiving any severe judgment of any kind. So it's a very modest principle. That one is. Now, Numbers 28. And Jehovah spoke further to Moses, saying, command the sons of Israel, and you must say to them, you should take care to present to me my offering, my bread for my offerings made by fire, as a restful odor to me at their appointed times. And you must say to them, this is the offering made by fire that you will present to Jehovah. 2 sound-year-old male lambs a day as a burnt offering constantly. The one male lamb you will render up in the morning, and the other male lamb you will render up between the 2 evenings, together with the 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering, moistened with the 1/4 of a hin of beaten oil, the constant burnt offering, which was rendered up at Mount Sinai as a restful odor, an offering made by fire to Jehovah, along with its drink offering, the 1/4 of a hin to each male lamb. Pour out in the holy place the drink offering of intoxicating liquor to Jehovah, and you will render up the other male lamb between the 2 evenings, with the same grain offering as of the morning, and with its same drink offering you will render it up as an offering made by fire of a restful odor to Jehovah. However, on the Sabbath day, there will be 2 sound-year-old male lambs and 2 1/10 measures of fine flour as a grain offering moistened with oil, together with its drink offering, as a Sabbath burnt offering on its Sabbath, along with the constant burnt offering and its drink offering. And at the commencements of your months, you people will present as a burnt offering to Jehovah 2 young bulls and 1 ram, 7 sound male lambs, each a year old, and 3 1/10 measures of fine flour, as a grain offering moistened with oil for each bull, and 2 1/10 measures of fine flour as a grain offering moistened with oil for the 1 ram, and 1/10 measure of fine flour respectively as a grain offering moistened with oil for each male lamb as a burnt offering, a restful odor, an offering made by fire to Jehovah, and as their drink offerings. By the way, there are more videos on JW.org. There should go 1/2 hin of wine for a bull, and 1/3 hin for the ram, and 1/4 hin for a male lamb. This is the monthly burnt offering in its month for the months of the year. Also, 1 kid of the goats should be rendered up as a sin offering to Jehovah in addition to the constant burnt offering, together with its drink offering. And in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, will be Jehovah's Passover. And on the 15th day of this month will be a festival. 7 days unfermented cakes will be eaten. Now here we see, if we do the 7 days begin on the 15th or on the 14th? And this is where the Sadducees and the Pharisees differ, where the Pharisees saw that the Passover was only at the very end of the 14th day, and then the 15th day was the beginning of the 7 days, which would begin in the evening, at the sunset on the 14th. So, whereas the Sadducees celebrated the Passover at the end of the 13th day in the evening. So their first day of this festival was the 14th. So their 7 days began on the 14th in the evening, at the end of the 13th day. So they were one day different in their reckoning, or in their start point and end point for this seven-day festival. 7 days unfermented cakes will be eaten. On the first day, there will be a holy convention. No sort of laborious work must you do. So whether the first day was the 14th or the 15th would depend on whether you were a Sadducee or a Pharisee, respectively. No sort of laborious work must you do, and you must present as an offering made by fire a burnt offering to Jehovah, 2 young bulls and 1 ram and 7 male lambs, each a year old. They should prove to be sound ones for you, and as their grain offerings of fine flour, moistened with oil, you will render up 3/10 measures for a bull and 2/10 measures for the ram. You will render up 1/10 measure respectively for each male lamb of the 7 male lambs, and 1 goat of sin offering to make atonement for you, aside from the morning burnt offering, which is for the constant burnt offering. You will render these up. The same as these you will render up daily for the 7 days as bread, an offering made by fire of a restful odor to Jehovah, which is called bread for Jehovah. Along with the constant burnt offering, it should be rendered, and its drink offering. And on the 7th day, you should hold a holy convention. So another holy convention. No sort of laborious work must you do. And on the day of the first ripe fruits, when you present a new grain offering to Jehovah in your feast of weeks, you should hold a holy convention. No sort of laborious work must you do. And you must present as a burnt offering for a restful odor to Jehovah 2 young bulls, 1 ram, 7 male lambs, each a year old. And as their grain offering of fine flour moistened with oil, 3/10 measures for each bull, 2/10 measures for the 1 ram, 1/10 measure respectively for each male lamb of the 7 male lambs, 1 kid of the goats to make atonement for you. Aside from the constant burnt offering and its grain offering, you will render them up. They should prove to be sound ones for you, together with their drink offerings. And that concludes Numbers chapter 28. Now, little children, let us look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, concerning foods offered to idols, Paul wrote to the Corinthian congregation, "We know we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone thinks he has acquired knowledge of something, he does not yet know it, just as he ought to know it. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Now concerning the eating of foods offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even though there are those who are called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, just as there are many gods and many lords, there is actually to us one God the Father, out of whom all things are, and we for him, and there is one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things are, and we through him." That's talking about the pre-human Jesus, when he was with the Father in heaven, and they created all things, Jehovah creating them through his only begotten Son, the heavenly Jesus. "Nevertheless, there is not this knowledge in all persons, but some, being accustomed until now to the idol, eat food as something sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience being weak, is defiled. But food will not commend us to God. If we do not eat, we do not fall short. And if we eat, we have no credit to ourselves. But keep watching that this authority of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone should see you, the one having knowledge, reclining at a meal in an idol temple, Will not the conscience of that one who is weak be built up to the point of eating foods offered to idols? Really, by your knowledge, the man that is weak is being ruined, your brother for whose sake Christ died. But when you people thus sin against your brothers and wound their conscience that is weak, you are sinning against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat flesh at all, that I may not make my brother stumble. So Paul, being cautious with regard to eating flesh, in case somebody thinks that it was sacrificed to idols, and that stumbles some people who don't understand that idols really have no power, and that God is the only true God, and his name is Jehovah, incidentally, the one who causes us to become, the Creator, is what that means. That's what his name means. So he causes us to become also, to become more than we are currently. Every day he causes us to become more. He has that power. His name has that power also. So that's it for today's study. We're done, and the time is, we have 11 minutes remaining. So, yeah, I've been doing a lot of research on the possibility of removing a ceramic crown and things like that, how difficult it is. You need a diamond cutter, and every cut that you make requires a new diamond. They have to be small diamonds, and they have to be applied with very light pressure, with water running in abundance over the place where you're cutting. And then there's an article I found which talks about how to remove a crown. But the thing is, once a crown is placed also, it's very difficult to see anything inside the crown. It's very impervious to x-rays compared to normal human tissue. So we won't know if we can not see through the crown. We won't know anything about the condition inside, whether there is an air bubble possibly, or any kind of, you know, decay in the interface between the crown and the ionomer that binds the two together. But it's an unbonded crown that's adhered with ionomer, about which we're speaking, because bonded crowns are much harder to remove. So I've done all this little bit. Actually, that was all from one article that I found. But I did read other articles, or as well as one more that was talking about the removal of crowns and how to repair crowns, and a little bit more about crowns than just the one article. But I'm reading because I'm in pain, and it's not normal pain. It's more of a, feels like some kind of, well, I mean, it sometimes manifests as a twinge of pain, but it's also more like a feeling of something, you know, going on, like an infection. But as I was saying at the beginning of this video, if it's extra radicular, in other words outside the root of the tooth and in the tissue, then it could mean it's in the bone, I suppose, or in that case rather than in the soft tissue. But if it's in the soft tissue, then vitamin C can treat it. But if it's in the bone, it's not going to be treatable necessarily at all with vitamin C. But maybe it is. If the level of vitamin C can be maintained high enough without reaching bowel tolerance for long enough, that the infection can be cured, then perhaps it's possible. But, you know, there's still... Well, there are always more things to research. But the relative risk of vitamin C, except if you're taking it to the point where you're having diarrhea constantly, is very safe. I think that constant diarrhea wouldn't be a good idea, or it wouldn't be safe. For one thing, you'd have to maintain your hydration also if you're having diarrhea all the time. So it would require a lot of consumption of water. There are a lot of issues with that. But I'm finding that the vitamin C really does have a small effect every time I take it. And I take it as often as I think that it might have a possibility of improving my situation. So today I think I took 6 grams. I believe that's right. 6 grams, but I mean, I've taken, if I take, you know, 15 or more grams or 20 grams, 25 grams, I'll probably have considerable diarrhea for, but not immediately with the slow release vitamin C, but I'm taking slow release vitamin C with bioflavonoids, and so the diarrhea won't manifest until sometime later, probably at night or sometime after taking it. But as long as it doesn't cause diarrhea, then that means the vitamin C is being utilized and consumed to fight the infection, and that's how it actually does work. It eliminates the free radicals before it even stimulates the immune system. It has this effect, according to Dr. Robert Cathcart III, a very well-known or very singular vitamin C expert from some decades ago, who has many videos on YouTube as well about talking about vitamin C and how powerful it is, how many things it can do. So, and I don't believe that a constant course of antibiotics or any kind of repeat course would be wise. I don't believe it would be wise at all. If the antibiotic can't wipe out the infection, I don't believe we should continue the antibiotic. And the vitamin C can be continued because it's safe. It doesn't damage, or there's no risk. But not like with an antibiotic where there's always risk, unknown risk. There are many unknown risks. There are no known risks with vitamin C other than diarrhea, which is how you know when to stop taking it. But vitamin C is so effective at doing so many things, and I believe it is helping me. So, you know, with the pain, or with the whatever the phenomenon is, it's like you know, it could be caused by something in the crown, between the way the tissue reacts with the ceramic crown at the juncture between the two, the interface between the two surfaces. There could be a response by the tooth, and that could be what's causing it. If I press down, it's not hurting right now, but it does maybe slightly, very slightly, have some kind of sensation, which you might call pain. But when it does respond, there is a slight or significant pain when I press down the first time I press, and sometimes even more than once. But when it's not responding, like right now, to pain, or not causing a response to press on it, it's still not the same as the other teeth. They feel good when I press. Even though it may not feel pain when I press, it doesn't feel good when I press. So I know that the problem is associated with this tooth, at least as far as my brain is concerned. My brain believes the problem is in that tooth. And we've seen before, and as Dr. Assey told me, who is a specialist in what's it called? I'm trying to think of the noun. Endodontistry, or is it? He's a specialist in endodontic work, and he only does that kind of work. So, you know, he's not. Very few doctors are qualified to diagnose all illnesses. I mean, there's nobody really is qualified to do that. So I have to find out more about it as much as I can on my own. But according to Dr. Assey, it's not that tooth that's causing it. Because if there were any response of that tooth to anything, is according to him, this may not be the correct interpretation, but according to him, it's not the tooth causing it, because if it were caused by some kind of nerve reacting inside the tooth, then that nerve would react to either hot or cold, or to an electrical stimulus, which he uses to test the response of the tooth, and he finds that that tooth responds normally. In other words, it does have a normal response. It doesn't have an accentuated response to any of the stimuli, such as cold or electrical. So the conclusion that we have, although one of the branches of the root of this molar, one of the branches of 3-6 could be somehow inflamed or infected. We talked about inflammation too, that's right. But one of the branches could be inflamed or infected, but that wouldn't cause an abnormal response to these electrical or cold stimuli, because the normal root branch would then still respond normally, and because they're connected, the two branches of the root are connected inside the tooth, it's impossible to isolate the infected branch in the test. So the tooth would still respond normally, even if it did have one infected branch or canal. However, so it could be infected. However, the other thing that we have is, I mean, it's still true that we can't be sure it's not infected. But when we look at the X-rays, we don't see a difference between the two canals or the two branches of that root of that tooth. The X-rays are indistinguishable for the two branches, so the same X-ray showing the two branches. Both branches look equally good or bad, however you want to view them. They look the same in terms of their color and, you know, texture and all of the things we see with the X-ray, whatever it shows us. So that's it for today. I love you very much. It's July 28th, 2023. It's now 18:11 hours. Well, that's an interesting coincidence, isn't it? And on my behalf, this is Ellie, and this is Phoebe saying bye for now.